service for the resurrection of our Lord, Easter Sunday, April 5th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading is from Acts chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord. And now the resurrection account according to Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father, and from our resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now a sermon entitled Matthew chapter 28. Dear Easter worshippers, these past few months a number of us in the congregation have spent a lot of time in the 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We had 5 Bible studies upon it, and then it was preached upon 5 times throughout the midweek Lenten services, and then finally on Palm Sunday it was read as the Passion Narrative. There was so much in there for us to unpack and to meditate upon. Yes, we focused on a lot of the details of Christ's last day, Good Friday. We learned of Judas' regret for having betrayed Jesus and how that tragically ended. We heard what happened when Jesus stood on trial before Pilate. We talked about how Jesus was mocked by the soldiers before they crucified him. We pondered Jesus' death on the cross and how he cried out before giving up his spirit. We focused, too, on how his body was enshrouded, entombed, and guarded. It was a sad and tragic day. Then, on Good Friday, we put this together with the passage from Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. We spoke of how Jesus endured all that he did, that we might lay our sins upon him. Yes, by Jesus offering up his life unto death, there is forgiveness available for us. As one of our hymns puts it, "This then shall be my only plea, Jesus hath lived and died for me." All people need to know this, that they too might believe, be forgiven, and saved. One person of note who needed to know of Jesus was a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius. Even though he and his family were Gentiles, they had come to fear God and were devout towards him. They gave generously to those in need and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, God gave Cornelius a vision. In it, an angel instructed him how to find a man named Peter, so that he might listen to what he had to say. Cornelius sent for Peter, who simultaneously was told in a vision to go with the men who were soon coming for him, even though that would take him into a Gentile home, something up until then that was forbidden. Peter left with them and came to Cornelius' place. There Peter found a large gathering of people. He asked them what they wanted from him. Cornelius told Peter how God told him to send for him, and now his household was assembled to hear what the Lord wanted them to learn from Peter. This now brings us to our text from Acts 10 that was read earlier. You see, Peter was learning something too, that the barriers between Jews and Gentiles were being knocked down. He began by saying, "Truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Peter had already shared the good news of salvation in Jesus with many Jews, but now he was to do so among the Gentiles. He began, "As for the word he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Yes, surely they had heard about Jesus in one form or another. He was a good man who did a lot of good for many. However, with Peter's testimony, they could know it all to be true, for he had been present. Peter tells them how, "We are witnesses of all that Jesus did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem." And then he specifically tells them about what we know from Matthew 27. He tells them how they put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree. Referring to Jesus' cross as a tree was deliberate. He was assuming, rightly or wrongly, that his audience was familiar with Deuteronomy 21:23, which states, "Anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse." And since Jesus had done nothing but good, there was no reason for him to be cursed. Instead, Jesus, as the Holy Son of God, had taken upon himself the curse of all mankind due to sin, not only that of the Jews, but of the Gentiles also. Now, so far, this sounds good to me, and I trust that it does to you, too. Hopefully, it was sounding good to Cornelius and those with him. It's a brief summary of Matthew 27, that Jesus lived and died for us. However, do you notice that there's something missing? He's talked about Jesus. He's talked about all the good things that he did. He spoke about how he died a cursed death on the tree of the cross, implying that he did so for us. But surely there's something more than what we learn in Matthew 27. Praise be to God, there is. You see, Matthew didn't end his account at chapter 27, but went on to chapter 28. This was our gospel reading for this morning. In it we learn of how on Sunday the women went at dawn to the tomb, and how there was an earthquake. A bright angel appeared and rolled back the stone. He told them not to be afraid, and that they would not find Jesus there, for he has risen, as he said. He invited them, "Come see the place where he lay." The grave clothes were there, but there was no body wrapped in them. The angel told the women to report this to the disciples. As they departed, with both fear and great joy, behold, Jesus met them. They worshipped him, and they took hold of his feet. They had seen Jesus alive again for themselves. Jesus hadn't only lived and died. Instead, he lived, died, and rose again from the dead. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You see, chapter 28 of St. Matthew's account completes chapter 27. The way we can know that Jesus hath lived and died for us is because on Easter morning, Jesus rose from the dead. Easter completes both our Monday, Thursday, and our Good Friday services. You see, what we are learning is that it is incomplete to speak only of Jesus' life and death without also tying them to his resurrection. Peter, who became a bold proclaimer of Christ on Pentecost and thereafter, understood this well. This we see during that time in which he spoke to Cornelius and all those gathered at his house. After he tells them how they put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree, he right away adds, "But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear." Jesus rising from the dead means that he is the world's Savior. That he was made to appear means that we can trust that this is all true. Peter admits that Jesus did not show himself to all the people. However, he did appear to some. Peter says that after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses. This would have included the women, the disciples, and according to St. Paul, Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. And it really was Jesus who they saw in the flesh. Peter adds how he himself was among those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. This would have included the time when the resurrected Jesus asked for something to eat. That's when they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them. This proved his point, as he explained, "A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." At last, Peter, before Cornelius and his crew, gets to the punchline of his gospel presentation. He lets them know that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he achieved for mankind by his life, death, and resurrection is for everyone, both Jews and Gentiles. Sometimes this preaching bears little fruit. However, at other times, it produces an abundance. This particular time, it certainly did. The story concludes by telling us how the Holy Spirit was present, causing them all to believe. Peter then asks, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Of course, no one could. Therefore, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Through this sacred act, they would be connected to Jesus' life, death, and his resurrection. As Jesus rose to new life, they had new and everlasting life through faith in him. Easter worshipers, the good news for us today is that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. He lived, died, and rose for you and me. Truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This included the women, the disciples, those in Cornelius' household, as well as you and me today. Thank God for all that has been made known to us in the 27th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. However, thank God for the 28th chapter, for as the angel told the women, "He has risen as he said." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. A blessed and happy Easter to all.